How do you do a hello without sounding awkward? Hi guys.
Not like that.
Welcome to the Wedding People podcast.
With Rihanna Elizabeth and Rebecca Brennan Brown.
Rebecca and I are wedding and event planners, and we wanted to create a little place that we could talk about the stresses, emotions and process behind planning a wedding.
So if you're planning a wedding, if you're helping someone plan their wedding, or if you just generally are interested and maybe need a bit of help and guidance, then keep listening and I'm sure we will do our best to try and help. In reality though, we might just end up badgering on because that's what we tend to do every single day. So in advance, we just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's taken the time to message us about our first podcast and the launch.
You've all been very lovely and supportive and wanted to say thank you so much. We're really excited about new episodes and chatting more to you about all of the things.
Yeah, we have so much fun, so it's nice to know that people enjoy it too. So Please rate on iTunes and subscribe and do all of those things that professional podcast people would say now.
Thank you.
We just wanted to say that any companies or people that we mention during this podcast and all of the podcasts are our own personal opinions and we are not sponsored by anyone.
No, these are simply people that we are passionate about, that we know of or have heard about and just want to share them with you.
But if you want to sponsor us though,
yeah,
hit your gal up.
Yeah. But if you know of anyone that you think we should know about or hear about or talk about, then please do let us know because we love to hear about new people.
And you can get in touch with us via Instagram or email at theweddingpeoplepodcast@gmail.com or Instagram is theweddingpeoplepodcast.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right. So we're going to talk about budgets and we're going to talk about how to set them.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the things that you should watch out for.
Exactly. Hidden costs, how to save certain pennies on certain elements.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll go into like a cost saving episode, which will be really helpful. But there's always like the initial elements to watch out for, such as VAT and service charge and things like that, which we can discuss, as well as discuss our own priorities when it comes to budgets and what to kind of the average allocation, like where to really put your money realistically. Yeah. For example, venue and catering are usually the average kind of more expensive elements, unless you want to spend like £100,000 on flowers, which is fine, but averagely the venue and catering will cost you the most.
And I think we'll go through that whole list. I think we'll also talk about the biggest impacts on your budget and what things are going to make the most difference to your budget. So if you're struggling to get everything you need, then maybe ways that you can trim that down or bulk that up, however you want to do it. Some people might be in a lucky position where they can't spend all their money. That'd be nice.
I would love to imagine that.
I can't do that. That would never be me. I just am not financially savvy enough. It'd just never be me.
This is wise. That. Rebecca's not financially savvy enough, but here she is discussing a budget episode.
I'm very, very good at looking after budgets at work. I'm just going to point that out. I have never gone over budget on an event. Ever.
Good girl.
I know. I'm very good at that. However, personal life, shambles. Absolute shambles. Someone said this to me once, like genuinely, someone said to me, for someone whose job it is to be so organised and for someone who is so good at it, your personal life is an absolute shambles. I'm like, yeah, it's fair. I'm not even going to deny it.
I know an accountant who's in debt, mate. An accountant in debt. This happens.
Yeah.
Perfect for our clients, useless for ourselves. It's fine. It's fine. Do you know what will make you allocate budgets better? Getting married, because ever since that, my cost sheet is on point.
Is it?
It is. I mean, I'm using Excel. I mean, there are loads of, obviously, again, we all mentioned, there are loads of different apps you can use. We're going to touch on Bridebook, which is brilliant because I'm using that at the moment.
It's my fave.
It is brilliant. It actually, you put in your kind of overall budget and then it will allocate to each element, photographer, videographer, what they think that you should allocate.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It's my top recommendation for people when they start, right?
Yeah.
It's just a really, really good starting point. And I find that some people don't always use it the whole way through, but it like helps you out everywhere that you need it.
Like, it's a really good place to go if you're stuck.
It's got guest list on there, so you put your guests in and you have who's like RSVP'd. It's brilliant. I'm using it at the moment. I downloaded it a couple of days ago and I'm definitely going to continue using it because it's very, very easy to use as well.
Yeah.
It has checklists on there. Brilliant.
Yeah. No, it's good. Should we get into the hardcore content of this?
Hardcore budget content.
Hardcore content.
Okay.
Priorities, I think, is my biggest. I've underlined it and circled it in lots of different colours.
Oh.
As my priority of things that we should talk about. Priorities.
Okay.
I think my biggest tip for people when they're working out what budget should be is working out what your priorities are. I think that's a really honest sit-down conversation with your partner, probably just your partner to begin with. The families have opinions and all sorts, but I think start with your partner.
It's always a good place to start. The one that you're marrying is always a good
place. Yeah. Probably get them involved somewhere.
Yeah.
And then work out what's really important for you as a first kind of step in this. Of just getting that headline of, are you really looking for your guests to have an amazing day? And the most important thing is that your guests walk away having enjoyed themselves. Is it more important for you to have everyone there that you want to have there? Or can you cut down your guest list a little bit? Is it more important for you for it to just look amazing? It's going to be different for everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah. And there are some people are really passionate about one specific thing, which will help you work out what your priorities are a bit better. If not, then you kind of would break it down into the kind of elements of the day, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which we have done.
We have done.
We've done separately.
We have. Myself and Rebecca have each allocated our five top priorities when it comes to wedding planning.
But these are my top priorities
okay.
for what I would want for my wedding day. They're not what I think everyone else should do. Shall I tell you my number one and then I'll explain that will make it all make sense?
Yeah, tell me your number one.
So my number one thing that my first allocating money in my budget for is a planner. And I do not think that everyone should do that because I don't think everyone needs a planner. But I'm a little bit crazy and I need a planner, I think.
You are a little bit crazy. I personally think that you will change your mind, but that is based on my own personal experience because I thought that planner was always going to be my first thing. And then it literally went out the window the minute I got engaged. I was like, I don't need a planner. I'm a planner. I can do that. But I do know planners who have had a planner because I've seen them write about it on blogs.
Yeah, I just want to, I know what I'd be like. I'd be a nightmare.
Well, I'm going to be your planner.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I can handle nightmares. I've done it before.
Okay, well, fine. What's your top one?
My top one coincides with my second one.
Okay.
Because venue was extremely important, but catering had a large part of that. So we had to find a venue that would have the kind of catering that we wanted.
Oh, okay, the kind of catering.
Yeah, so we wanted something quite rustic and not too traditional, nothing kind of like fine dining. Mm. But we also wanted the venue to be quite classy and sophisticated, so we needed to kind of find a middle ground. So for us, the venue, but catering was kind of jointly first.
Yeah, and that would make sense because I would have put yours top one at catering. You like food?
We like our we're big foodies, and because I'm lucky enough to work with some incredible caterers in London, I can see what they do, and I kind of thought, I want that, I'd love that, that would be great. Like, obviously we've been to many weddings and we plan weddings where they have the kind of traditional sit down 5-course dinner or something like that, but we knew that we wanted something a little bit more family orientated.
Mm. See, it's funny, isn't it, because catering's not on my list at all.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It just doesn't feature. It's actually number two on my sacrifices.
There was a venue that we absolutely adored, but we didn't pick it because of the catering.
Yeah, because for me, I just think weddings are quite well known for the food not being amazing.
It is true. It is very, very true. Usually it's a bit of corn-fed chicken, which is fine, but it's a very, you get melon balls with parma ham or a soup, and then you'll get, you know, chicken and roast potatoes, and then you'll get a cheesecake, which is fine.
I'm saying bring on the melon balls. I'll have them.
No, I'm saying that is what people will eat. They'll like it. That's a chicken roast, you know, but again, we will step into this more when it comes to the catering episode, but there are so many different elements and avenues to explore, which have a massive impact on your budget. Because if you go and have chicken, it's much more cost effective than having, you know, steak.
Yeah, and I think my point is bring me the melon, chicken and cheesecake. That's not something I'm bothered about at all.
Yeah.
Whereas I know for you, that's completely different.
Exactly. But that'll save you tons of money. Huge, huge amounts.
Yeah.
Having a crab starter, you know, is going to be a lot more money than having tomato soup.
Yeah, and I think it's because, for me, you know what I said about your headline thing?
Yeah.
Mine's that everyone has a good time, like a really, really good time. And for me, I don't think people walking away thinking that food was amazing is going to contribute that much.
Interesting. Right, well, when you eat my fancy steak.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Let me know. This is the thing. Like, obviously, I want people to have a good time. But I think if you're a foodie, you're going to want the food to be great.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We are foodies, so, you know.
And I've 100% got nothing against that.
Yeah, you will not moan about the steak, mate. Trust me. Anyways.
Are we ready to move on?
Let's move back on track. See, we've gone off track. Not
very good. We've got it.
Back to number one was for you, planner, and number one and two was venue catering / together.
Yeah. So do you want my number two?
I do.
Do you want to guess it?
Photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most important. It's your, what you get left with after you've spent all that money.
Yeah.
So you've got to make it good.
That's, for me, again, that comes after venue catering, so photographer. For me as well.
I think if you spoke to older generations, they probably wouldn't agree, because up until about maybe 5-10 years ago, like, all the photographers were pretty similar, particularly in wedding photography.
Yeah.
I think just because of how technology's developed and that sort of thing, there's so much that photographers can do now that people have a completely different style from one to the next. Yeah, to spending a bit of money on a photographer could end up giving you a completely different result to someone who you haven't paid that much money for.
Yeah. Again, it's priorities. A lot of people won't want to spend a lot of money on a photographer.
So have you booked your photographer?
Yes. We booked our photographer. We booked our venue and then we booked our photographer. And I will touch on this more in our photographer episode, but we decided a budget for that quite early on, what we felt was a realistic budget, in my opinion. And I think it's good for us to be honest, to say where we think a good amount of money, what a good amount of money is for someone to spend on a good photographer. And I think if you spend around £1,500 upwards,
I usually get
a good photographer.
Yeah, and that's not taken into account like videography and all the other options that you've got there.
That's a usual standard one day, one photographer kind of budget.
Yeah.
Of course, you can look at photographers who are much more cost effective than that. But based on experience and quality, if you're looking for a good quality photographer, you usually have to look in excess of 1,500 and up.
Yeah. Agreed. Right, so you're on number four.
Oh, I'm at number four.
I'm at number three.
Yeah, because my number one and two are quite together. So number four for me is florist.
Our lists are so different.
I know. I knew they would be.
I think that's fair. I love flowers so much. I'm just, if I was anything else, I'd be a florist. I'm quite surprised at myself that florist isn't on my list.
Floristry is incredibly important, but for me, it's really the only decorative thing we're having, because we want something very natural. So we kind of want like we want like spring to be brought into the venue.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really only done by flowers. So, you know, we're not having a lot of decor other than flowers. So hence why it's incredibly important, because it's all visual. That's the only visual main element we're having. For now, I might change my mind and then decide to have, you know, lanterns everywhere.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past you. You are extra.
I am Rioncé.
Rioncé.
Yeah. Oliver's named me Rioncé. Yeah.
What number are we? I'm on number three, am I?
Yeah.
My number three was a band.
Yep.
Love a band. I think a good band that gets people dancing and having good time is really important.
Yep.
Followed by number four was alcohol.
It's a very important element.
Just making sure that people have got enough to drink. And I think I can't remember where I read this. I'll try and find it and write it in a description box somewhere. But I read somewhere that the things people say are the most important when they're wedding guests are that they've got enough to drink and they're not sat next to people that they don't want to be sat next to.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so what was your last thing on your list anyway?
Stationery. It's crazy because as I wrote this list, I knew that you would laugh at me, but stationery, for me, the first thing that your guests are going to see is your save the date. And I have put so much work into my save the date idea that I haven't even got to an idea because I keep changing it.
Right. Well, but
we know what we want. Yeah. And stationery for me is really important. And it's like, and I know it's not for so many other people, but it is for me. And I can't tell you why, but it is. And that's fine.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's fine. Yeah. That's important to you. That's fine. I don't have that.
Yeah, rounding
so
up.
So are you spending more money? So the way this kind of reverts back is that you'll be spending more money on your stationery than I would, is the long and short of it.
Yeah.
Are you spending more than you think is an acceptable amount?
No, not at all. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in general because obviously, you know, from experience, I also know, you know, when it comes to a point of, okay, you could definitely start saving money here. But for example, there's things that we want to include, like we want our own wax seal stamp made, and you know, they're not cheap.
That'll be so nice though.
Yeah, and illustrations and stuff like that. So for us that's important. But for me, you know, the least important thing is a cake.
Okay.
So for me, we were talking about getting Colin the Caterpillars from Marks and Spencer's.
I love that idea.
Do you know what? It's good cake, that.
It is good cake. Colin's good, mate.
And, you know, I'm working with a client at the moment who's spending £2,000 on a cake. So, I love that sound. Let's keep that in. You know, you have your luxury caterers, your Peggy Portions and your Rosalind Miller, who are fantastic. But you can get a great cake for around £300.
Yeah, and its name's Colin.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, you can go luxury or you can get a good cake for £300-400. When it comes to any element, you've got your realistic and your luxury. But for me, a cake stationery is more important to cake is what I'm trying to say. And
which
that's yeah, and I love cake.
Yeah. My number five was venue and I struggled with that.
What, really?
Yeah, I was hesitant over it as well. Like, it nearly didn't make the list.
And it's so funny that it's the last on your list because it is the first on the list that you will do in order to get the rest of your
suppliers.
Without a venue, you can't really book a florist until you have your venue. I mean, I know people have in mind who they want to use.
Yeah. So then I also wrote a little list of what I thought was the normal things that people spend the most money on. I've written a list of what I think the biggest spends are. Starting with venue and catering is probably you're going to be your highest spend.
Yeah.
Then feel free to disagree. I just kind of, I kind of guessed this from experience. Venue and catering, photographer, flowers and decor, dresses and outfits, and then entertainment.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay. What do you think?
I would go venue and caterer, entertainment, florist.
Really?
Yeah, because a good band, people will spend around £5,000 to £6,000 on a good band, but they could spend £3,000 on flowers.
Yeah.
But again, this is really dependent on what your priorities are. But
yeah, that's entirely true. It all goes back to the priorities, doesn't
it? Yeah, all of it. But florist for us is more expensive than the photographer. And one thing that's always left out is a videographer, which is more expensive usually than a photographer, and something that we didn't want at all because we thought we don't need it. And then the more planning we're doing, the more adamant I'm becoming over having one. And I'm going to have to find money for that because that's not in our budget.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that people, as you say, don't realise you want. But as you start planning into it, and I suppose as your day kind of starts to become more alive and more of an actual thing that you can visualise, maybe then the photography and videography becomes more important.
Your priorities will change. That's something I'm going to say from experience. But also, one big tip that we can give you is that if you have a budget, shave off around 5 to 10% of that to allow for the extras. So, for example, if you've got a budget of 35,000, keep 3.5 and knock it off. Because as you go along, things that you didn't think you want, you might want. So a videographer, and then you've got some money to play around with. It yeah. just makes it safer because you have to allow for VAT. So if you've got a 10 grand catering budget, chances are you've got to add on 1500, 2 grand on top of that for your VAT and your service charge. Some venues will charge service charge. All of these little extras have to be factored in, and you don't want to hit your budget and then that comes in and you're like, oh my gosh, now I don't have that money.
Yeah, I used to fall victim to that all the time, particularly the VAT thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a stand. There's no standard of like everyone includes VAT or everyone doesn't.
No, not
everyone. People will send you prices with, and some people send you prices without. So it's difficult to keep on top of, and definitely something that you should have in a budget, and then be clear with anyone who you're also giving your budget to. So if you're speaking to a caterer and saying my budget is, I don't know, 5 grand, that 5 grand is including VAT, tell them that.
Yeah, 5 grand including VAT, you must say that, because
otherwise they'll be cheeky.
Exactly. Anything, a cake, 500 including VAT. Always give your budget, ink that. It just makes it much easier for you and much easier for them. And then you won't get caught out because, for example, if anything happens further on, at least you have that in an email chain for yourself. Everything, anything to do with cost, very much keep it in an email format. You always need written confirmation because there are so many times people can get stung with, oh, I told you this cost. Oh, I didn't. You know, over the phone, never take that for gospel.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about times of year.
I personally think there are three factors which will determine how big or small your budget's going to be. Mm. You need to think about when you're working out what that figure is. For me, those are number of people, location, and time of year or day of the week.
100%.
Agreed.
I completely agree. Guest numbers obviously have the biggest, because if you break that down price per head, for example, we've got 110 guests allocation, we're 120, you usually get around 10 to 20% dropout. However, those 10 guests, it's not just about, oh, okay, that's just 10 extra mouths to feed. You have to add on a whole new table, which includes all the flowers, all the stationery, all the plates, everything. So it's not just a case of, oh, that's one cost. There's so many other costs to factor in. So your guest list is incredibly important, because that really will determine your main budget.
Yeah, guest list was top of my sacrifice list, and I feel like I was being particularly brutal when I wrote that.
Yeah, trust me, when you have to allocate who's gonna come, that, like, the guest list is incredibly stressful.
Yeah, no, I bet it is. And I bet that I mean, from everyone that you speak to, you really have to think about it as a number on a head of a person almost, don't you? That, like, because people say to me all the time, you get there, or do you think I should invite this person, or blah, blah, blah. And I think that decision becomes easier once you kind of look at them as, oh, that sounds really horrible, doesn't it? But I think you do need to think about it in terms of, do I like this person enough to spend £100, £200, £300?
Yeah.
But too harsh?
No, not harsh. And you will, and I'll tell you what, though, that it's a whole episode that we have to talk about because it's a very stressful part of the planning process. And of course, if we could have, if we want everybody there, but we can't afford to have everybody there.
Yeah. It's just a thing.
It's just a thing. There are desirable locations. For example, central London, Hertfordshire, Cotswolds, you know, all of these places are a desirable wedding location. So a venue in London is going to cost you a hell of a lot more than a venue in, you know, Sussex is going to cost you. Well, usually, usually.
Yeah, again, these are quite generalisations, but it's just like, don't take this as gospel.
Yeah, hotels are great for budgets. Yeah. I had a lovely inquiry for someone who was getting married in Italy, and she had a relatively low budget for the guest numbers that she wanted, and she was looking at places like Sorrento, Amalfi, very expensive locations. So I suggested that she looked at hotels because they are more kind of adapt for larger groups and also doing great packages. A hotel will do a great wedding package usually, and you get good discounts on room rates for your guests abroad. So, you know, the idea of a villa in Tuscany is fantastic, but then if it's a villa, you have to bring all of your suppliers in, whereas a hotel is very much geared up for that kind of thing already. So it saves you money.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think about it in terms of just what that practically means for someone, if you're getting a dry hire venue, which means you literally are just getting the walls and whatever it has in it already, but most of the time it might be a barn. So a barn is normally dry hire venues. You're paying effectively for that caterer, band, DJ, everyone to bring all of their equipment down to you, set up, all of that sort of thing that will just be there in a hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing is time of year. It's always more expensive to get married in summer. Saturday in summer, that's going to be your most expensive day, isn't it?
Spring, summer, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we're getting married in peak season. But we're getting married on a Friday, which had like a £200 difference to getting married on a Saturday.
Really? It really
is very much. But spring, summer and Christmas are very expensive. Saturdays and bank holidays, obviously. Sundays are more cost effective, as are Monday to Thursdays usually. Yeah, well, I would say 99.9% of the time they are more cost effective than a weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's all sorts of things that you can do to save money, and it's always about flexibility, I think. If you can be flexible, then you're more likely to be able to negotiate something a bit cheaper. So if, I don't know, for example, you can get married fairly quickly, or you're not worried about what day it's on, the venue might have one Monday left in the next 6 months or something that you'll be able to get on a cheaper rate.
Yeah, we were going to get married in May. We wanted to get married in May, but we had to get married mid-June, mainly because the dates weren't available for us on and I was fine with getting married on a weekday being a Friday, but we wouldn't have got married on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We were quite adamant that we wanted something over a weekend, not just because of, we've got a lot of guests traveling. We've got friends and family in Ireland. We've got family in America, Australia. They're dotted all over the place. And we wanted to have a weekend with them and knew it would be easier traveling just to do it on a weekend.
Can I ask you about your budget?
Yes, you can.
Am I allowed to ask you about your budget? How many thousands of pounds do you have? No,
yeah, you can ask me about my budget. But
how did you come up to that decision about, because obviously normally by the time I get involved, it's, this is how much money I have to spend, do you think that's reasonable? That is normally what I get presented with, is just an amount, and then I go and do my thing.
Same.
How did you actually go about that process of deciding what your budget was? Did you and Oliver sit down and say, okay, this is how much I can save, this is how much you can save, and if we cut back on, I don't know, eating out, then we can spend a bit, like, what was the process?
So we're very lucky in the sense of that we're having some help from my parents, which I'm extremely grateful for. So they are helping us out. Mm. But obviously this is a
joint. Did you know that when you were setting your budget?
I did know that, yeah. They'd said previously that when it comes to me getting married, that they'd love to help. So they are helping, but obviously we are footing a large chunk of money ourselves as well. And when it comes to us allocating that, I think it helped because obviously the job that I do, I knew what we could get for our money. I knew the kind of wedding that we would want. So we sat down and thought, right, it's 2020. This is how much that we can save in that time. So we set our budget based on what we wanted, realistic, and how much we can save, along with the money that we have been given by my mum and dad.
Do you think you're likely to stick to it?
Well, we had an idea in our heads of a budget that we thought was right. I think we were being a little bit unrealistic, but our guest list was the reason why that right. money went up. Because we thought that we were going to have 80. And then when we got a list together, we had 120. Mm. And on average, 10 to 20% of your guests will not come. But yeah, it had everything to do with the guest list creeping up that our costs went up. But I think we knew that we had that money was okay. Because I think if it had been a case of we categorically can't afford this, then we wouldn't have done it. We would have just had to be a little bit more careful.
And I think that's a really important point, is that you need to sit down and work out what's affordable for you.
Yeah.
If you're going to end up putting yourself in thousands of pounds worth of debt for your wedding, it's not going to be worth it.
No, it's really.
I personally don't think it would be worth it to put yourself in so much debt. Like, you need to work out what you can afford yourself. Yeah. And I don't know, do you think that if you done the budget exercise and then worked out that actually you needed to get married in 2021, would you have waited?
Personally, no. I think Oliver would have waited, but I didn't really want to wait. It makes me sound like a psycho. No.
It makes me sound like a psycho. Do you remember I used to sit in an office with you?
This is so true. No, I think... You know, this podcast is very much just two people chatting about me planning my wedding, as well as, you know, a little insight into what we've learned and are still learning as we go along.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I really feel like a bride planning her wedding rather than a wedding planner planning her wedding, because a lot of the things that I've encountered and the way I've reacted is very different to how I thought. And, you know, obviously I know some great suppliers in London who I'd love to use, but my budget won't allow for me to use them. And the only one that I'm adamant about is the florist.
Yeah.
Because she knows me and she knows what I love. Other than that, our venue is a 2-hour drive away from our home. And when I had a quote from a cake designer in London who I loved, her delivery costs were £100. So yeah. You have to factor in suppliers locally to you as well, because delivery and collection charges are also going to factor into your budget. We've done weddings before where we've got about £2,500 worth of delivery costs.
Mm.
Whereas if you had a hotel venue, you don't have to really worry about that, because they usually provide all of your chairs and your tables and your linens, so you don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
So we had to cut the conversation there for the first part of our 2-part budgets episode because Rihanna and I talk too much. I hope you found it useful. The second half will be following up in the next 2 weeks or so, so stay tuned for that. Make sure you subscribe so you get notifications when we have uploaded the rest of our episodes, and follow us on Instagram @theweddingpeoplepodcast, and you can also email us @theweddingpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you can join us for our next episode, which is on wedding traditions. Find out which ones we love, which ones we hate, and which ones we think are damn right outdated.